From Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino. And the Music Row Show.
All right, all right.
I'm working on my...
You're getting better.
What's his name? What's his name? Matthew McC... All right, all right. Hello,
yeah,
Frank.
Hello. Almost have it nailed.
I do. I know. Thank you. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks so much for tuning in again tonight. As you know by now, this show is for all you songwriters and performers and musicians around the country who just want to figure things out here in Nashville and everywhere else.
And now cheerleaders, because this hotel is overrun with cheerleaders this weekend, and there they are just running all over the place. But we don't know anything about this industry.
Not even,
8 years on the air, and we're still trying to figure it out. We're out there slinging songs just like you guys are, but we are able to find very, very smart people, bring them into the studio, pick their brains, and give you the opportunity to join the conversation as well.
That is true, and you can do that by going to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow, or you can also hit us up on Twitter @TheMusicRowShow and chime in with your questions and comments right there. Now, we've got a great show tonight, as Scott mentioned. We have hit European pop recording artist, songwriter, and TV star Celeste Buckingham in the studio with us right now.
That's right. And then we're going to be talking traditional country with our pal recording artist, Tia Goen. So we're going pop to traditional. Our listeners are going to get whiplash tonight.
Nice. Never let it be said that we don't cover all the bases.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
All right, Scott, why don't we get to it? Introduce our guest here.
We are so excited to break some new ground on this show as we welcome this young lady to the studio. She is young.
Yeah.
But she has already been building quite the amazing career here musically. She is an accomplished singer-songwriter. Just last month, she was awarded the Europa 2 Award for Best Female Singer of the Year for the Czech Republic and Slovakia. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That's a big deal. Has in the past won MTV Europe's Music Awards Best Czech and Slovak Act and has been nominated as Best New Artist at the Radio Disney Awards.
Nice.
She's competed on the Czech Republic's version of American Idol. She's been a judge on X Factor in Slovakia. And her single Run, Run, Run was a big, big top 10 hit in Europe. She's currently working on new music here in the States, writing and recording with some of pop's heaviest hitters. And she's also a regional ambassador for L'Oreal Paris, which is really what we're going to talk about mostly.
Oh, we need some cosmetics?
We need hair and makeup tech.
Yes. Bad. We need bad.
But it is such a pleasure to say Celeste Buckingham. I'm glad you're here and welcome to the Music Row Show.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh, my God. Stop.
Gosh,
stop.
Don't.
Stop. Oh,
don't.
My
stop.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, as Scott kind of mentioned there, you had a lot of success on different competition shows. How did you get involved in those, and how did they end up opening doors for you?
I just kind of fumbled my way through.
Ah, see what you did there. Look at that. Wow. Instant friend.
This is not her first rodeo.
No.
Well, I'd like to lie and say it is, but it's not. So,
okay.
No, I've been very lucky, and also I've had a very small but very hardworking group of people around me who really believed in my music, which is kind of scary in pop because most people don't believe in you. There's no faith in the industry. It's all about, unfortunately, it's not all about that bass. It's all about what can you bring to the table to people who are working in big companies that have turned music into kind of an industry. It's a money-making machine.
Sure.
And people kind of forget. Nobody talks to you about, well, what do you want to create? What do you want to do? Who do you want to be as an artist? And so it's very scary to enter the pop world, being all in love with your craft and then figuring out it's actually not very much about the craft, the people you're working with. It's all about the business. But I've been very lucky to have people around me who actually ask me, well, where do you want to go with this? What are you going to write next? What do you want it to mean to people? Which has been a blessing, I mean, all the way through. So, yeah, and I know all those awards and competitions sounded very foreign to people, but they're very similar to what you guys have here in the U.S. So their version of Idol is almost exactly the same to your version, except we have different judges and it's in a different language.
Right, right.
And then X Factor is almost exactly the same, except for, you know, different judges and different competitors and stuff like that. So, right. And then the awards are equivalent to you know, the Radio Disney Awards, any other radio awards, songwriting awards, and things like that. So it sounds very foreign and strange, but the business kind of works very similarly over there than it does here.
Wow.
It's a business, yeah.
So you have studied here at Belmont for a while.
I have. Yes, I have.
And now you're doing online at Berkeley as well. But how has that educational background helped you navigate this career so far? Or has it played a big part in it or not so much?
Absolutely. I mean, it doesn't help me with the songwriting because I took music business in school. So I didn't get any tips from some great writers on how to write. But what I did do was it really helped me figure out how to kind of tread your own waters, because as the artist, you have to defend yourself and what you're creating. You're the only warrior out there protecting what you do, because nobody else is going to completely understand what you do as an artist. Nobody's going to completely get where you're coming from. And so you learning parts of the business, as unfun as it may be sometimes for an artist who wants to just be creative and free. And I think artists are all internally hippies in one way or another, because we kind of defy the mold of work and career choice.
Right.
But at the same time, it's been really helpful for me to be aware of, you know, Celeste, you need to know how to talk to the right people to get to where you want to go and get your music where you want it to go. So it's been very helpful in that respect. But sometimes I get frustrated because you have to fight this. Like, it's like artist versus businesswoman. And I sometimes tear my hair out. I'm like, no, but I really want to do this record. And then it's like, but it's not going to work. And then it gets frustrating.
So what's been the most eye-opening thing then that you've learned about business versus artistry?
Honestly, the only thing that like really shocked me, but in a good way, and I had to learn really quick, was working with radio. That was like huge, because the way it works in Europe is completely different. It's very much based on if your music's good, they'll play it. There's no and because it's a smaller world in Europe, music is just a smaller world. It's easier to get for a new artist to break and for a new artist to not become famous, but just, you know, share their music with the world.
Sure.
But in the US, it's such a huge country and there's so many huge artists, and you know, of all genres, country, pop, rock, I mean, there's you can't even count them on your, you know, not a calculator would break if you try to calculate how many big artists there are out there.
Yeah.
And so, and by big, I don't mean famous. By big, I mean big personalities.
Overweight.
With a lot to offer.
Yeah.
No,
right.
No. No.
Oh, man.
No.
She just insulted about half the artists.
I did not.
In this room.
I didn't say that.
Okay, stop that. We're kidding. We're kidding.
But yeah, but kind of working with radio, and I had some experience with that yet last year in the U.S., and I really loved the experience, but it was like, I realized how big the music world is, and it scared me for a little bit, but also really excited me. I'm like, more space to conquer. Yay. Like,
that's
as
the
ambitious artist, it's like, it's amazing. But then it's like, oh, I'm never going to make it in this country. So it's really a balancing of scales.
So Europe, you're saying, is there not as much genre on the radio?
They don't really define genre.
It's like Radio 1 and Radio 2.
Actually, yeah, pretty much. And they play what they like. If the station likes it, they will play it, even if it defies what the company that owns them tells them to play. Which is amazing, because it really is about the hosts of the radio shows. They decide what they play on the air. Nobody else does that for them, which is amazing. So I feel like that's the big difference that I kind of had to learn to deal with. But at the same time, it's been great, because I do pop. So now I know in the US it makes it easier, because you know exactly where to go to ask, you know, do you like my song? Would you play it for me? And do you want to share this with people?
Yeah, right. So, and it's not the guy at the radio station usually, or the guy behind the mic usually.
No, it's actually
somebody
someone
else
in the office in the same building, which is a different experience for me. But I love it all the same. I mean, sharing music is what it's all about. So,
oh, that's great.
Well, I have to imagine that there were at least some differences with how songwriting was approached back at home and with what you encountered here. What was the biggest difference for you?
Honestly, the difference was just writing with people who spoke English.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I was, the reason I kind of started there and was considered, you know, unique in some way, but still local, was because I grew up there, but I sang in English.
Okay.
Most people there don't sing, local artists or regional artists don't sing in English. It's a very rare thing for them to sing in English. And they play, you know, foreign records. They play U.S. records.
Right.
They play all the big pop artists.
Sure.
They'll play some of the big country artists. Like, you'll get Carrie Underwood sometimes. You'll get Taylor Swift all the time. You'll get Rihanna all the time. Like, you get, you know, big international records. But for locals, they do it in their own languages. Mm. And so
was it a conscious decision then to approach your career in English?
No,
over
it was
there?
Just I grew up speaking two languages, and so for me it was like I felt best expressing my emotion in English.
Okay.
And for me, songwriting is an expression of emotion and sharing a certain feeling that hopefully is generic enough that everybody finds themselves and their story in it.
Sure.
But yeah, no, it wasn't like I decided. It was just I'd been writing since I was a little girl, and it had always been in English. So
okay.
I've done songs in other languages, but this was kind of the it wasn't even a decision. It was just like that's
right.
how it evolved.
But as far as co-writers go, you had to come here to
well,
get...
I wrote lyrics alone, except for with my sister. My sister's also a songwriter, and so we used to write together sometimes. And then when I moved here, it was like, I actually have people to share lyric ideas.
right.
This is amazing. Because my producers and the people I worked with back home would just trust me. They'd be like, we don't know what you're saying, but we love it. So that was like...
Actually, we get that a lot, too.
And I would
but
love to get feedback, but I knew I wasn't going to get it because I didn't even know what the deeper meaning was. Because even if you speak some English, it's harder to grasp, you know,
the nuance
of the song. But I came here and I worked with people in Nashville, and then my producer, who I worked on the new music you're going to hear soon with, is up in New York, and I've written with, a few people co-write and stuff in a studio, and it was amazing to get feedback on every word and the phrases, and they're like, we love the meaning behind, I'm like, I was ready to cry. I was like, I'm so happy. I know, I'm like, I'm getting reassurance that this song makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
There was a huge differences.
Nice.
Wow.
I never really thought of that. Yeah.
Let's back up a little bit because I'm interested in that. This is going to sound creepy now that I thought about it, but Celesta's a little girl.
Why stop now?
Why back down?
No, let's talk about when that started to hit, because you are in a house that speaks not two but four languages, and you're using, it sounds like you were using songwriting as a way to express things for yourself.
Our house is very loud.
Mm-hmm.
There's only four of us, but it's still very loud. And my dad isn't the loud one. So there's...
Bless his heart.
Yes, poor soul. I love you, Dad, if you're listening to this right now. You have been a rock in a sea of chaos and
estrogen.
Overly ambitious women.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. My mom is kind of... She's a wonderful soul. I'm not going to criticize anybody on the air because then I'll get in trouble.
No, yeah.
But
yeah.
I grew up in a very happy and loud house, and so for me I always appreciated quiet time, and I never got it because we were just always busy, and then when I started working there was just no way I was ever going to get any quiet time again.
Right.
So for me, songwriting was once I started taking it more seriously, because when I was little it was just like, actually we have a video of me writing a song mid dance, and I'm the age of three, and it goes something like, and the colors and the rainbows and the people of the world unite and stuff like that. So when I started taking it seriously, I was about, you know,
was
10, Benetton. 11.
Yeah.
And it was really like a way to talk about things without actually having to say it and offend anyone.
Mm.
And it would actually solve problems for me because I was really didn't want to hurt anyone, my friends, family, loved ones, anybody. And songwriting kind of gave me the ability to communicate. Like I would perform it for people, like I would perform when I started performing. I was 15, 16 years old, and I'd release the songs that I'd been writing since I was 12.
Right.
And a lot of people in my life came out of the woodwork, friends, family, you know, classmates, bullies, people who had no idea that they had such an impact, good or bad, on my life. And they didn't even have to talk to me. They'd heard the song and they understood what I was talking about. And I never made any names. I had no hid secret messages. It was just an expression of what I felt at the time when I wrote the song. And people came out of the woodwork and said, oh, wow, I didn't know that's how you felt. I didn't know that that was going on. And I feel like to this day and for the rest of my life until I stop songwriting, which will probably never happen, that's the best way for me to express emotion because I feel like it works so much better than anything else I've ever tried. Talking is overrated, so why not songwrite it?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Hate that.
We need to take a break, but we want to let everybody know that this segment is brought to you by our friends over at Toyota of Cool Springs. Now, I have a new Toyota that I just took over there.
Nice.
Because it's new to me, and it had some issues, and they fixed it, and they handed me the bill. And I don't want to set expectations for our listeners here, but they hand me the bill, and the bill was zero.
Can you afford that?
I said, what? And they go, well, we didn't. It really didn't take us that long to fix this, so we figured that would silly. Have you ever heard of a dealership doing that? It's like, ah, this is a quick fix. So, anyways, we love these guys.
They're George, great folks.
George over there, and they have one of the inner websites, don't they?
Yes, ToyotaOfCoolSprings.com is a place to go check them out. They're really great folks. We can't say enough great things about them. ToyotaOfCoolSprings.com. We'll be back in just a few minutes with more of Celeste Buckingham here on the Music Row Show.
Unhealthy, but I can't keep from you, baby. So you said, why even bother? Set this love, set me on fire. How I wish you'd be the victim so you'd see just how I'm feeling. You better know that I have conditions. I'll make the rules.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are here with Celeste Buckingham, and that is a tune called Run, Run, Run.
So you better.
I'm going to take a guess here. This is the first time this song's ever played on this station.
Well, that was a big hit for Celeste over in Europe, and that's a great tune. Actually, I was playing it at the house this morning. My kids made me play it over and over. So I've heard this song front to back probably about 12 times today.
I'm going to ask, do they like it?
Yeah, that's why they kept saying, play it again, play it again.
Okay. You mentioned before the break, you were talking about the team that you had around you, and I heard you in another interview saying that, you know, it's hard to even find time now because you're running around so much to play guitar or play piano.
Yes.
It was that crazy schedule something you were prepared for, and how important is that right team?
You are never prepared for a crazy schedule. The schedule, because it's not even about the amount of shows you're playing or where you're going, the in-between is what makes it crazy.
Right.
You don't sleep at night. You're traveling, driving, flying. I live at airports practically at this point.
Right.
I know the Nashville airport like the back of my hand. I'm always there. The security guards recognize me at this point.
Oh, really?
That's how
they see you coming through.
They're like,
come on through.
Miss Buckingham, how are you? Yeah. I'm like, I'm doing great. 6 a.m. in the morning. I'm like, oh. But no, I mean, you either let it drive you insane or you embrace the insanity of it and love every second of it. And I've tried to do the latter. I think I've succeeded because who gets to fly at 4 a.m. in the morning to get somewhere at 6 so that you can be on a show at 7 to premiere your music that otherwise would have never been heard?
Right,
Go play a show for 2,000 college students in Kentucky. Or, I mean, it's the coolest. Or fly to Europe and film a commercial for a week in Prague, which is one of the most beautiful European cities in the world. You can either sit there and see all the negative of I haven't slept in 3 days, or I haven't eaten properly in 4 days, or I'm working too hard or whatever, or say, oh, I'm not ready. My voice, my throat hurts. I'm not, you know, or you can go, this is the greatest period, the greatest few years of my life. And I might as well ride the wave before it goes back down again. So, I'm grateful for the insanity, but no, you're never ready for it. Every time I go, I'm flying out tomorrow and I'm like, I haven't packed. I haven't even washed my dishes. I'm just too busy. You know, nothing. No. So it's been crazy, but I love every second of it.
That is awesome. That's the best attitude I've heard in a long time. That's
great. I agree.
That really is.
Thank you.
We'd love to hear you play something. You feel like doing a song for us?
Yes. We'll play the first song you just heard. You'll get an acoustic version
of
it. Nice. So this is Run, Run, Run. This song was my baby. This is what got me here. And all of it came down to me sitting in the studio with you guys today. So
sweet.
The song's got to be worth something.
Wow. All is fair in love and war, but all I do is love you more. Our love is crazy, unhealthy, but I can't keep from you, baby. So you said, why even bother? Set this love, set me on fire. How I wish you'd be the victim so you'd see just how I feel. You better know that I have conditions. I make the rules and make the decisions, and I want nothing less than what I deserve. So you better run before I decide that you are mine to lose. Chance will collapse.
Got a standing ovation from the window.
Sweet.
Thank you.
Great. All right. So we were talking about co-writing a little earlier. How do you approach collaboration or co-writing when you are out on the road? I mean, do you do bus writing or what? How does that work for you?
I don't do a lot of bus writing, although my band and I in Europe, because I haven't really done a lot of touring in the U.S. yet. I've kind of been locked in the studio for the last 7 months, actually.
Wow.
On and off. Like, I'm either home working on... You know, there's a lot of, like, pre-release stuff you have to do. So mm-hmm. there's, like, photo shoots, there's paperwork, there's meeting people, there's, you know, shooting, there's, you know, so, like, and then you're in the studio working. I've been working on a new album. So this is the first song off the new stuff. Nobody's heard this stuff yet.
Okay.
Not the song you just sang, but the thing we're going to hear a little later.
Right. The thing we're going to hear later.
Yeah.
And
oh.
so... I've been working with a producer up in New York called Earl Cohen, who's got, you know, anybody who's interested can Google him. He's worked with every kind of artist and every kind of genre known to mankind.
Multi-platinum producer,
yes,
Grammy Awards
Grammy
up
award
the
winning,
wazoo.
And one of the sweetest and most wonderfully creative people I've ever met in my life. And he really made me, you know, feel comfortable. He feels like the uncle I never had. So mm-hmm. it's been very wonderful to work with him. And I've been in and out of the studio. And we write quick. I like to write quick and record at the same time. So
you record as you're writing?
Absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
What we do is most of the records that you will be hearing soon, that are coming out soon, especially the one we're about to play, is written with Earl in the room, who's my producer. Then there's me, and then there's one or maybe two other people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I like to keep it a small group. I don't really like to write with a lot of people because the meaning of the song kind of sometimes gets lost in translation.
Diluted.
So it's kind of great to have the same people in the same room at the same time and stay there until you've written the full record.
Sure.
I don't generally like to come back and fix things. songs. I like it to be perfect when we're done mm-hmm. the first time around. So we've done like, you know, 24-hour writing sessions where we've wow. just stayed in the studio. My producer lives across the street from a really great Italian restaurant that does takeout.
Nice.
He's got his, every time he knows I'm coming over, his fridge is stocked with drinks and Red snacks Bull. And lots of Red Bull. Yes, lots. Yeah. And we sit in there and write it, and then we record the demo vocal, and then we come back and listen to the vocal. Uh-huh. And if something's not sitting right, like if the lyric sounds weird when I sing it, or if the melody isn't right, or something like that, we'll do it right there and then. We'll fix it then. We won't come back and do it later. Uh-huh. So generally, we usually have a full demo recorded before we even leave the studio when we've written the song. And the last few months, we've done 16 records in the studio, and we're going to release 12. And the other wow. extras are going to be specials, so you'll hear nice. Those way later in the future.
So you say demo, I mean that, but that is the finished product that you're doing.
Well, except for like post-production. So like, right, you know, of course. The musicians mixing come in and record that. And mm. mixing and mastering, but it's pretty much the finished vocal. Very rarely do I, what we do is if we do another vocal for the same song, I come in the next morning. And do it then, because okay. I have to fly to New York to do this stuff. So I don't live there. I live in Nashville. And then sometimes what we do is I go to studios in Nashville, record the vocal, and have it sent to my producer, and okay. he works with it. But generally, we don't do a lot of after okay. vocal work.
So how working with Earl Cohen and all of the experience that he brings to the table, and like you said, so many variations of artists, how has that been? How has that evolved the process for you compared to what you were doing back home in Europe?
Well, one of the things I mentioned earlier was that, you know, writing with people who actually write in English was the first huge thing for sure. me, because, I mean, I was getting feedback on my lyrics, which was right. amazing. And then the second thing was working with someone with that much experience, who's worked with people like Whitney Houston and Tina Turner and Destiny's Child back in the day. And then also like, rock bands like the Eagles, he's worked with David Bowie, and mm-hmm. I mean, with such a wide roster and so open to trying anything. I mean, his latest work was Lady Gaga's The Fame record,
right.
And he did all of that with her and a few other co-writers, and so he's really open to going places where a lot of pop artists are afraid to go. If not the artists, the producers are, and so it's been very freeing, because in Europe, they just don't have as much experience. That's the only thing they lack. They really want to create. They're so open. My producer back home is amazing. I mean, he did this Run, Run, Run record with me a few years ago.
Great sounding.
And really nailed what I was looking for, and also, you know, put his own thing in there. And so, but the only difference is that they haven't experienced that wide variety of some of the most amazing artists, you know, you've ever seen. And so for me to have the opportunity to work with someone like Earl has been, you know, mesmerizingly eye-opening. So it's just been so huge. My whole world has kind of expanded like within the course of the last few months, which has been amazing as an artist.
How cool is that?
That is amazing. Well, listen, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more of Celeste Buckingham here on the Music Row Show. Stick around.
Though you want to push me, take my edges away, and try to make me something different. You think you can mold me like I'm made of clay and erase all my innocence. Don't put me in a box, cause my soul's all I got, and I ain't getting another one. Oh, I may feel a lot, but I'm not sorry. I'm not worried. I'm not ashamed to be the girl I am. I can't hide it, and I try.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's I'm Not Sorry. That's a tune by Celeste Buckingham, our guest here this hour.
Now, this song did some cool things for a woman's organization. Tell us about that.
So that song was written in Nashville, actually. That's one of the first songs I wrote when I first moved here. I was having a hard time adjusting, and not because Nashville is so far the greatest place I've ever been in my life, and I'm not saying that because I'm in Nashville. I honestly mean it. The atmosphere of this town is amazing, and the food's great here, too.
Oh, yeah, fried.
Everything's fried. It's amazing.
As
someone who grew up in Europe, coming to everything fried, it was the greatest moment of my life when I realized they fry pickles here.
Have you had a fried?
Yes.
Have you had a fried Twinkie?
Yes.
Oh.
I didn't think I'd like it, but I loved it.
Yeah.
So I am ashamed and kind of happy and proud to admit.
Yeah.
But no, this song was written one of the first co-writes I had in this town, and it was by two other amazing people. Her name is Paula Winger, who wrote the lyrics with me, and the second person is Jamie Kenny, who did the music and the melody with me. And it was a song where I was kind of struggling with becoming a woman, in a sense that I was 17 and I was, you know, I'm away from my home, what I'm used to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was in not a foreign country, because I am American, but it's so confusing to explain this, because I am American, I sound American, but I grew up somewhere else. And so I was learning, I just started college. I was really freaked out about everything in life. You know, who isn't at 17? I mean,
right.
Really. And so this song was really an expression of how I was feeling as a girl. You know, I'm not ashamed to be a girl. I'm not ashamed to make mistakes. And I should forgive myself for those mistakes. And I should be okay with the fact that I'm stressed out and overwhelmed and I don't know what I'm doing. And I don't know if I'll ever be successful. And I don't know if I'm even doing the right kind of music. So that's where this song came from. And my mom and I actually listened to it after we finished it. And it was, hey, wait a second. This song sounds like more than just what I was feeling. It was
right.
Generic enough that other women could find themselves in it as well. Because as a woman who can identify with other women, I feel that we all go through, you know, whatever country we're from, whatever, you know, financial standing we're in, whatever we're age, it doesn't matter. We're all kind of going through the same emotional ride. And I'm not saying we're hysterical, quite the opposite. Women are capable of handling a lot. But the thing is that we feel that we're inadequate, you know, whether it's we don't like the way we look, or we don't like the way we behave, or we're not the perfect wife material, or we're not career minded enough, we're not ambitious enough, we're not skinny or heavy enough, or whatever it is. Women always feel like women always beat themselves down. And I do this quite often. And so for me, this song was kind of a way to explain to other women, it's okay to not be perfect. It's okay to be dealing with. And the song, and the video I did for this was another amazing experience, because the casting director of the video, I said, I want a lot of different women from every part of the world in this video. And we filmed it in Europe. And the video has women with, every single one of them had an amazing story. And it wasn't all suffering. Some of it was, you know, very wonderful. Mm-hmm. I had one girl there who plays one of the main characters in the video. She was there a lot. And she was an American who grew up where I was, too. And
really?
She had just been diagnosed with brain cancer.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And so, and then I had a 7-year-old girl who was a jiu-jitsu, kung fu, and sword fighting world champion. And she was there, and she says, I want to conquer the world. The 7-year-old is there cutting, you know, sword scenes in the video. And I was there, like, scared of her. I'm like, this girl could
stand back
down in 2 seconds. And so, and every single girl in the story had an amazing, you know, had an amazing experience to share. And we all just sat there and cried, like women do occasionally.
Yeah.
And it was really powerful for me to do that. So this song is kind of, and then CARE, which is an organization for women's mm-hmm. rights. And I know women's rights now has a bad rep, because they think it's feminism and they think it's all about anti-men, and it's not. It's really about making one gender feel good about themselves and feel confident and be able to continue with their lives without suffering.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about, for me at least, I'm not speaking for all women of the world, but it's not about being anti-men at all. And it shouldn't be, because without men, where would women be? And without women, where would men be? We're equal in balance in everything. Okay, we look different, we act different, we have a lot of things different about us, but at the same time, you know, one cannot function without the other. So I feel that women's rights is a matter of dealing with the women's specific issues, like
right.
lack of self-confidence, body issues, health problems, and in certain countries, rights to education, rights to basic human rights that certain men don't allow the women to have. It doesn't mean all men are jerks. It means that a few people are limiting women from accessing what they should automatically have the right to. So this song kind of, not accidentally, but became evolved into a voice, hopefully, for women around the world who are going through some kind of hardship at some point in their life.
That is wonderful. Now, we're going to have to take a break, but if your management team in California is listening, they're going, I can't believe these two guys haven't said her website yet. So what's your website?
CelesteBuckingham.com. You can also check me out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Instagram and Twitter is Cel Buckingham, and Facebook is Celeste Buckingham Official.
Okay, now we're going to take a break. When we come back, listen to this. We're going to be playing a song that really nobody's heard on the radio.
I know.
She's going to play it.
We don't want to say exclusive, but you know. Her parents have heard it, but
we're not allowed
to say that.
But she's going to give us an acoustic performance of it, and we're going to get to hear a snippet of it when we come back. You're listening to The Music Row Show. We're here with Celeste Buckingham. Stick around.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That is Unpredictable, the brand
wow.
upcoming single from Celeste Buckingham, who's our guest right now.
So I'm going to ask this to the audience as well, but you guys haven't heard this until like 2 seconds.
Just
two
now. Seconds ago.
Just
yeah,
now.
You've been very good at keeping
so
it quiet.
So I'm going to ask, even though you haven't heard the whole thing, what do you guys think?
I was dancing and I don't dance.
Yeah.
Good.
If it
good.
Makes him
there
dance, it's
good.
Awesome. So
yeah.
that makes me automatically not like
because
it because it made him dance.
I can give you another little piece, secret piece. We've just filmed the video last week, the music
Sweet.
Video.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of awkward dancing in there.
Awkward dancing?
Why didn't you call me?
Yeah,
that was my
we're the experts at that. I mean,
no, but just so everybody knows that I hope that this is the song that everybody awkward dances to for the next
nice.
Year, which would be so great
no,
because
it sounds
I love
good.
It.
Well, if you ever do another video and you want some just really uncomfortable to watch dancing,
good,
we're there for you.
I will call you.
Yeah,
because
okay, awesome.
All the time on the casting sheets, I see we need someone old, rotund,
and really
and
hard,
really
uncomfortable to watch.
Uncomfortable to watch.
You are handsome.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
Scott.
It's true. But you're gonna play us this. Song now, right?
I am.
Oh,
we'd
love to hear
this
that.
Acoustically. So,
All
guys,
right.
this is the first time ever acoustically.
All
a
right,
new
sweet.
Single, Unpredictable.
How exciting.
No. Call me an ambulance. I need a doctor. Cause all these problems every day keep getting harder. Don't have a backup plan. I need a way out. My head keeps spinning, but my feet still keep me on the ground. I feel like falling, but I know that I'm afraid of heights. But there's no stopping where I'm going. Can't get off this ride. I can't control it, but I hope I'm gonna be alright. Oh, whoa. Yeah, I can't take it. It's so unpredictable. I can't take it. Makes me want to lose control. So good to be gone. I'm best without you. It's feeling so wrong, but I'ma pull through. Oh, I can't take it. It's so unpredictable. It's getting serious. Take all my medicine before I overdose and try to run to you again. It's getting dangerous. Blow it up like dynamite. These walls are crumbling and the fire's out for you and I. I feel like falling, but I know that I'm afraid of heights. But there's no stopping where I'm going. Can't get off this ride. I can't control it, but I hope I'm gonna be alright. Oh, whoa. I can't take it. It's so unpredictable. I can't take it. Makes me want to lose control. So good to be gone. I'm best without you. It's feeling so wrong, but I'ma pull through. Oh, I can't. Whoa, unpredictable. unpredictable. Whoa, 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 unpredictable. Whoa, 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 unpredictable. Whoa, 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 unpredictable. I can't take it. It's so unpredictable. I can't take it. Makes me want to lose control. So good to be gone, best without you. It's feeling so wrong, but I'ma pull through. Oh, I can't take it. It's so unpredictable. I can't take it. It's so unpredictable. I can't take it. Makes me want to lose control. So good to be gone.
CelesteBuckingham.com. Find her on Facebook, on Twitter, on Snapchat, and Instagram.
No,
are you on Snapchat?
No Snapchat.
Good. I don't even know what Snapchat is.
He just said that. He just throws random websites out
there. I'm afraid to start using that. My sister uses it, and I see her taking selfies like 50 times a day, and I'm worried if I start doing that, I'll do the same thing. And I look really stupid in pictures. So
listen.
Come on. Go check her out, CelesteBuckingham.com. We've got another great hour of the show coming up with another wonderful artist completely on the opposite side of the musical spectrum, Tia Goins. She's awesome. So.
Love to you.
You'll love her. So come back in just a few minutes here on the Music Row Show.
Yay.
Yay. Thank you.